I'm real excited to be doing this particular interview because I know Dawn and I have been speaking for quite some time about things that you would like to do in the martial arts industry, and I've kind of had a front row seat in seeing some of these phenomenal ideas unfold. And last time we did an interview, we were focused primarily on the Black Belt Club books, and Dawn had authored a fantastic children's book. It's called the Black Belt Club series, and the first book was The Seven Wheels Power. And we were talking about what our expectations for the book would be and how this could really help the martial arts industry if it really got some children excited about martial arts. And so I'd like to start there, kind of where we left off last time. And I recall that Scholastic had told you at one point, Dawn, that, listen, you're basically a first-time author, and to give you an idea of what would be successful, we would expect your first book to sell 10,000 copies, and we would consider that to be a success, and then we'll see what the other books do and see if we can build it from that. Can you share with our guests how many books have sold?
I have no idea. Scholastic informed me that the average children's book sells 7,000 copies total in the course of its lifetime. So they're really using a lot of money in children's books, unless you're just an anomaly like Harry Potter or that kind of thing, or Captain Underpants. But those are way at the other end of the spectrum. Normally it's about that. And we today have sold nearly 200,000 just of book one. And so that's very exciting. And book two is coming out in August.
And that book is called Night on the Mountain of Fear.
Right.
And I'm one of the privileged few to have an uncorrected proof, and I'm reading it to my children. I can tell you that my son Jacob is absolutely loving it. And he's especially, I saw his eyes light up when he saw the cover, which is basically much more graphically attractive. I mean, the other one was fine, but I didn't realize how great this one was in comparison until this one came out. And I understand that they're redoing book one's design and relaunching that along with book two.
Yeah, they like the cover design so much on book two because it's very dramatic. And then on the back side of the book, they show panels from inside, which gives the kids an immediate understanding that this is part graphic novel and part chapter book. So they decided to redo book one, and they're going to launch that in September with this new cover format where there's a lot of action drama on the front cover and then the panels on the back. So that's pretty cool. That's going to be relaunched with book two this fall.
Which is only going to, you know, basically take the book sales beyond 200,000, which is really, really exciting for the martial arts industry.
And I've been getting so many emails from kids that are either taking martial arts or they want to take martial arts, and they're saying, can you come and teach me? One kid gave me an email from Long Island and said, can you come to my house? I really need a tune-up. So they're really cute, the emails, and more are asking, where can I go take karate? Which is good.
Right, and actually, as you know, we've played a role in helping a bunch of those people find schools. We've been able to utilize our client base, you know, to help people find schools in the area that they can attend. So
right.
We're real thankful that you allow us to have that plug-in on your website so that we can help them find schools, which I know is your ultimate goal in life is for more and more children to participate in martial arts because you've seen the difference that it makes.
Absolutely.
So let's continue on with the fact that here's this book that's just blown away expectations, over 200,000, almost 200,000 copies sold. I know that the martial arts industry has really responded and has sold a ton of books to their school or given them away. I know that we've received a tremendous amount of orders from our clients that we've kept them informed and given them ways to utilize the book. So if some of you are on this call, we really appreciate you supporting it like that. so you're doing this writing and all this stuff, and I understand that there is in production right now is the screenplay for a movie.
Yes, there is an amazing team. If you go to the blackbeltclub.com and play the promo reel, you'll see all of the production people involved in creating. It says on the site that it's a live-action film, but we've actually decided to go to an animated feature because the characters in the book series are not going to age. But in the animated series, we are going to make them slightly older. In the book series, they're about 10 and 11, and in the animated feature, we're going to make them a little older, a little more edgy, looking to appeal more to the masses of kids. So they'll be more about 13, 14, that age, in the films and potentially television and so forth. So there's an incredible team. I'm working with the producer of, he produced I, Robot and Catch Me If You Can and Michelle Shane, and he and I are collaborating on producing this into a multimedia franchise, and we brought in an amazing team from New York called Starlight Runner, and they have worked with Disney. In fact, they just finished doing the animated version of Pirates of the Caribbean for Disney. So they're very strong in animation, and they are working on what's called the Bible, which is creating the entire history of the Black Belt Club, and I'm collaborating with them on that to create one single book that tells everything about all of the characters from their beginning to the end of the series, so to speak, so that it's a reference when writing the screenplay for the films and then potentially television series and video games and merchandise.
That is just that's just unbelievable. That it seems like the snowball is starting to really roll down the hill and gain some momentum and get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know personally that I've been extremely excited about the book series and each of the objectives that you hope to achieve along the way are starting to come to light. So it's just real exciting because I know I personally have passed along that enthusiasm to many of our clients in groups or one-on-one conversations that I've had with them because I think this could be a huge, huge boost for martial arts. So I thank you for that. I know it takes a good amount of your time in the writing. I understand that book three is already written and basically is in the, I guess, the review stage, and you're getting ready to write book four.
Right. Book three is called Beware of the Haunted Eye, and that's being illustrated right now. That comes out in the spring next year. So each book will come out, a new book will come out every 6 months.
So basically on a six-month process at this point,
right.
They want to keep that momentum going. And when you sell almost 200,000 copies, everyone wants to know when the next book is coming out. So
yeah, even the president of Scholastic, her son read book one and keeps bugging her when is book two coming out. So that was good.
Oh, I'll sell him a copy.
Yeah, right.
Right. And you know, for those of our clients that are also NAPMA members, they would obviously know that you are the director of children's education. For those of you who don't know that, well, now you do. That's a very, very important position because NAPMA, being our industry's oldest trade organization, and I still believe the largest trade organization, they consult with you a lot on the direction they take with their advice on children's curriculum and products that are being designed. And I know that you work directly with Rob Colasante, who's president of NAPMA,
mm-hmm.
In that area. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about your experience there. I know you have some products you've done for them. But if you just give us a quick one-minute review on that.
Sure. Well, basically, I just try to be available if people have questions. And also, again, working with Rob just to create as much opportunity for people to have quality children's instruction in their schools. So, for example, whether they want to do the little ninjas or whatever it is, I just basically will see what's right for them. A lot of people, I created the DVD series with NAPMA, and that was to just show what I felt was age-appropriate instruction for three different age groups. So you have your preschoolers, and then you have your kind of kindergarten, first graders, and then your older juniors and tweens kind of thing. So the DVDs that I made for them basically give show me teaching classes, and then I try to give commentary. It'll pause, and I'll give commentary when I one of my specific teaching techniques, which I coined the phrase positive dialogue response, and it's just as it sounds. I really focus on using positive dialogue when working with the children. And my personal and professional mission statement is to inspire self-esteem in every child. And I make it a point that my instructors and every time a child comes to class here that the children feel inspired and feel happier when they leave than before they arrived, which means there's a lot of praise during class, a lot of reinforcement of what they can do, as opposed to stories I've heard, for example, where kids went into a room and the instructor said, okay, now everybody has 10 points, and every time you make a mistake, you lose a point. And then we'll see who's the first loser, you know? So it's just kind of backward instruction. And that's really been my personal mission, is to help instructors just, and they just, maybe that's just how they were taught and they don't know any better. And I would just like to be able to be available through my teachings and things I've written and programs I'm putting together that will maybe just help uplift instructors and get them thinking about how they word their dialogue when they're in class, so that it can be really inspiring for the kids, as I said.
Well, you know, there was a couple things there that you know, that you said that struck a chord with me. One is that you have a mission statement. I find that a lot of school owners don't actually have a mission statement, something that really directs all of their actions, goals, and objectives towards. When you have a mission statement, you know, every decision that you make, you can evaluate it against your mission. Is this something that's worthwhile? And your mission of inspiring self-esteem in every child, I can see that in everything you do, from writing the books and reaching children through literature, through Scholastic, which, by the way, is the largest children's publisher in the world, by the way. So that's, you know, that's fantastic that Scholastic is obviously publishing your work.
You know, everything is an evolution. When I first opened my first little school 11 years ago, I made all the mistakes. And I'm actually going to speak about this at the Super Show, about really the mistakes that I made and how I learned from them, what I did and then what I've learned. And I realized that I had first of all, for my first 5 years, I don't even think I had a mission statement. And then my second 5 years, I put together a rough mission statement, but it was about a paragraph long, and it was about fitness and health and fun and experience and goal setting, and it was great, it was all good, but a mission statement needs to be refined. And I had a parent at one of my schools come up to me, and this is what he did. He was a business counselor, and he said, you know, he has two children that have learning disabilities that had been in the program and were really thriving. And so he was very, very grateful. He almost had tears in his eyes. And his children are autistic, and the program was really helping them. So he came up to me and he said, you know what? I charge $400 an hour. I want to take you to lunch and give you at least 2 hours of my time to help you refine your mission statement. And I said, wow, okay, thank you. So we went to lunch. He brought out a thick file of forms with a questionnaire that was very, very interesting, because it really broke down and analyzed the questions. Why are you doing what you do? Why do you have it set up that way? How do you see what you're doing? And he had me go 80 years into the future. What do you want to see 80 years in the future when you're gone? So we went 80 years into the future and went backwards. And basically, we refined my mission statement down to that single line of inspiring self-esteem in every child. Now, each word is poignant. Every child means every child literally in the world. So there are a lot of children in the world. So I realized, this was about 5 years ago, that I needed to start hitting the mass market in order to really complete my mission of at least attempting to inspire self-esteem in every child. So I knew I had to go into mass media, so I wrote my book. I started planning how to potentially have a television series and, of course, expand the schools. And on my mind 5 years ago was also how to expand the schools nationally and even internationally. Well, so I knew I had to take certain steps and build up. First, I had to be able to have multiple schools myself and have them run efficiently without my presence. So I had to know if my business model was viable in order to expand nationally. Well, I opened up the second school about 4.5 years ago, and I basically was there probably a couple times a week the first few months, and then after that I would stop in maybe once a month, and the school was thriving and growing and successful, and I maybe stop in there, you know, once or twice a month now, and that's the same for all my schools. So I realized that the program was successful, the business model worked, the teacher instruction quality was there, and that the kids were definitely being inspired. So now that has led me to my new product that I'm going to launch. It's not really a product. It's offering almost a partnership to martial artists across the United States by being able to buy my program as a license. So license the brand name. And the brand name is Karate Kids World. That, for those of you who have read my book, is the name of the school that the Black Belt Club attends in the book series. And I've been getting a lot of emails from children, where is there a Karate Kids World? I want to go to a Karate Kids World. So I thought, well, that's just the perfect name for the license. So that is the new project.
Well, and that brings me to the series of very interesting ads that I've spotted in MA Success and Martial Arts Professional magazine, where there was this "What's in the Box?" And of course, you and I are good friends, and I knew what was in the box. But I thought, wow, this is really interesting. And trying to look at it from a school owner's perspective, and it certainly was a very, very attractive ad. So let's get down to the really cool stuff, which is what is in the box. And we're talking about the Karate Kids World license. And the box contains what?
Ooh, well, that's the mystery. Unveiled at the Super Show, no.
You know what? That's the benefit of being a Member Solutions client. They get to find out before
yeah,
the world.
Speak of what's in the box.
What's in the box? I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, all right. The brief story with that, you could tell I'm a storyteller, is that I went back and forth with my partner Ben. Went back and forth for the last 2 years. Do I want to do a franchise? Do I want to do a license? Do I want to do a franchise? I run my school like a tightly run ship. I really have strong protocols on design and appearance and customer service and curriculum, all of it. So I really thought, well, I need to have a franchise because that's the way to have very strong standards and synergies so that the name brand is kept very intact. So, but it's very, very expensive for the customer to buy or for the instructors to buy it into a franchise. It's just very expensive to set up, and it's very expensive to get into. So I thought, well, what would be an easier way for teachers to, maybe they already have existing schools or they want to open a school, to be able to use this business model, but here's the best part, keep their own style. So I created, I took my program and put everything we do in 4 manuals and basically put that into literally a beautiful box, custom made. And every one of those manuals goes over point by point how we run our operations and how we run the business, and as well as giving samples of all of our materials and what we do for advertising, what we do for curriculum. And the concept is that a school owner can buy the license and get all of this information. And when they do that, they would come to headquarters here in Santa Monica, our largest school, and have 40 hours of customized training exactly for their needs, go through everything we do in administration, go through everything we do on the mat with the teaching method. And again, they still keep their own style. It's just learning our teaching method and class format. And basically, once that's done, we help them get set up as far as just making sure that they have a customized design for their school that works. And then there'll be ongoing email and phone support. There'll be an incredible website with one-stop shopping for all of the custom logo product and product that I designed and having custom made with Century Fitness that is very soft and kid appropriate, because right now there's nothing on the market that I have found that is really soft enough for those little guys.
So let me interject here to say, so in other words, what you've created, and if I'm going to really simplify this thought down to, if I'm a school owner, and whether I have a whole bunch of students or I have 50 students and I would like to have a whole bunch of students, you're basically taking them under your wing, saying, this is how I run my schools, and I think we'll branch off and talk about your schools right after this. But I'm going to take you under my wing, show you how I run my schools so that you can duplicate the success that I've had. You will basically have a license, so you'll pay an ongoing fee for the license to use the Karate Kids World branding, which would be obviously the name of the school, I would assume logos and things of that nature, tying into special deals with vendors, et cetera, et cetera. And in essence, it's almost like forming a partnership with you without forming the partnership with you. So that's I've seen a trend in the martial arts industry. It sort of come about in the last year and a half or so, where a lot of these different types of licensing programs have popped up, and I'm always on the hunt for anything that I think could help my clients grow. It could be a crazy idea, it could be something really simple, but if I see and I think it works, I want to get it out to our clients. Well, the thing that's always troubled me with some of the licensing things that have been popping up is I couldn't get past the whole national brand awareness. That's the thing that's always troubled me, because I go through, I don't want to mention names on the call, but I'll go through a magazine and I'll see a license program, and next month I'll go through the magazine, I'll see it again. After a few months, that ad or that thing will basically sink into my mind because I am involved in martial arts industry to a high degree. I have become very familiar with the license programs that are available. But the thing that I can't get past to then go to my clients and say, hey, this might be a great opportunity for you, is my Aunt Mary would have no idea who these people are to take her children to those schools. Unless one of those places happened to be in their, in their neck of the woods, that whole national brand awareness that seems to always be talked about, you're going to get national brand awareness, you're going to get national brand awareness, but it doesn't exist. I mean, you'd have to have thousands of schools to really make that kind of an impact. Whereas what entices me to what you're doing, Dawn, is the fact that my Aunt Mary does have a copy of your book, and when she opens up the book on page one, it says Karate Kids World on it, and that's where the Black Belt Club members attend.
Right.
The movie, those are the things that excite me about your project, is that national brand awareness is something that is very, very real and growing. So I wanted to point that out, because this is something that I've been seeing in the industry, and this is what I believe makes your program very unique. I think that other people's things can be very successful within to themselves, But national brand awareness for something that you're calling a licensing program, to me, has got to be one of the most important things. But let's go to what other people might tout as the most important, and that is the success of the business model. And I'm going to have to ask you, because I know how you are, I have to ask you to put your humility aside. I know that, you know, it's difficult sometimes to really throw out the big stuff.
I'm not that humble, Joe.
Well, you know.
That was a nice compliment.
Basically, you have four schools. I know that you're in the process of opening a fifth.
Yeah.
We have a very pretty much a privacy clause with Member Solutions, so I'm going to be breaking that today to talk about the financials of your business, and that is that, you know, your schools are basically grossing in excess of $2.5 million per year. And
well, that was the end of last year with four schools, so we're actually a little bit higher now. But yeah, that was last year.
Well, that's just an absolute phenomenal number. And I know that, for example, for last month, the school that you are at right now in Santa Monica was the number one grossing school in terms of billing volume for Member Solutions. It's not the reason we love you, though, Dawn.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, you know what? Considering you're the largest billing company in the country, I guess that's a compliment then.
Thank you as well. But, yes, last month your Santa Monica school had ranked numero uno, which is an amazing feat when you consider that we handle close to, I should have an exact number, but I think we're close to about 1,900 locations.
Ooh, all right.
Which represents about 1,500 clients or so. You know, multiple school operators are included in the 1,900, and that's just martial arts. So, you know, that's amazing. And to run an operation like that, to run basically to create your Black Belt Club books for Scholastic in a manner that you're going to have to be popping books out every 6 months, and to be participating as one of the most important people in children's education for the largest trade organization, NAPMA, you know, one might say that there must be a twin you keep hidden somewhere in your house, and she's doing part of the work for you.
Nope.
So, obviously, you've built
a
business model that
isn't
dependent on
you. It's the old adage, if you do what you love, the money will follow, and I just don't consider what I do work. I love all of it. I love getting on the mat with the kids. I love just setting up a better system behind the desk. I love creating new ideas to help the school flourish and create more community spirit. I like writing articles for the martial arts community. I like creating new projects, writing the books. It's just fun. It's all fun for me. It just really comes down to time management.
And I imagine that, you know, every single thing that you're doing, you evaluate against your overall mission, which I can't, you know, really underemphasize how important that is, because it really directs your, you know, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, it really does dictate your actions and your decisions. And I think that's why you've made tremendous progress that you've made. So now I'm going to get down to some nitty-gritty stuff, because I know I talk to clients every single day. They share with me their ups, their downs, when things are going great, when things aren't going great, and that's, you know, that's one of the things that I certainly want to get across to all of our clients that are listening, is that, you know, we realize that every day isn't always the best day, so if you're running into difficulties or challenges, you know, please take that time to contact Member Solutions and set up one-on-one consultations and take advantage of all the things that we're doing to help your schools, because we do put a tremendous amount of effort into that for you guys, and we want everybody to be successful. So if I can get into an average, typical instructor, you know, here's a guy who's either working a full-time job during the day, which is the guy who's not on this call today because he's going to download it next week because he can't make the 1 o'clock in the afternoon call. Or we have maybe the guy who is on the call today, which is, you know, he's a full-time school operator who's got, you know, 100, 150 students, you know, may be certainly successful by a standard of what they've originally set out to do with their schools, but maybe having a hard time to get, you know, over 200 mark or the 100 mark or the 300 mark, and looking for some support. And one of the most difficult things to grow is the development of staff. And, you know, you are opening schools and bringing people in. How does the school owner really prepare for substantial growth?
Well, I think that if you have your internal structure set up, that you are prepared for it. And again, it's, you can do trial and error and make a lot of mistakes like I did, or you can just jump on the bandwagon with someone like myself or other people in the industry who are successful and say, huh, what are they doing? It must be working. Let me try it. So it's just a matter of how quickly do you want to succeed. Unfortunately, there's a lot of ego that gets in the way, and people, well, I know how to do it. And I mean, when I was selling the Tiger Tots program the last few years, I had people inquire, well, I'm doing pretty well, and but just tell me a little about it. I'm like, really? Well, how many kids do you have? And one man was just adamant that he just didn't even need to read the manual because he was successful with his 35 kids.
Right. And,
you can lead a horse to water, right?
For a lot of people, Dawn, you know, and this is one of the things that's a shame, is that, they get to step one, which is they realize that there's a problem or a challenge in their school that they need to overcome. So they do the thing that most people don't do, and that's actually recognize that there's something there, do a little research, find out that there are solutions available. But unfortunately, just like anything, it's a numbers game. So X number of people go out and get, for example, a Tiger Tots manual, and then there's X number of people that will read it, and then there's X number of people that will implement it. And unfortunately, when you get down to the original allotment of people that had the challenge, the other number of actually people who implement it is unfortunately a very low percentage. You know, there's a lot of information that goes around in our industry, and sometimes it's difficult to keep up with everything. But
right.
What I like about your program is that it, you know, it tackles all the areas. It says these are the things you need to do in this area, this area, this area, this area. It's a license, so you have a choice on things of what you can do and not do. But what you're putting out there is, hey guys, this is what I do. I have four schools. When I open a school, I know exactly where it's going to be in 6 months. I know exactly where it's going to be in a year, because all I'm doing is following the same system that I'm putting out there for everybody else to follow. So the results are going to be tremendous. And I want to go right out to pointing a few things, because one of the reasons I brought up the staff is that sometimes martial arts schools have a hard time of developing, keeping great staff. And if you start looking at the hours of operation, you know, who the heck wants to work until 10 o'clock at night every night, or 9:30 or 9 o'clock?
Oh, yeah, forget it.
You know, you get to a point where, you know, maybe, you know, in the beginning when you're 22, 23 years old, it works really well. But then, you know, you meet a partner, you get married, you have children.
Right.
And then all of a sudden these other things. And one of the things that always impressed me about your school was that all of your staff, including instructors, leave at 7 o'clock at night, get home, time to have a family dinner.
That's right.
And have, you know, somewhat of a more normal life, if we can, you know, somehow define normal. But
that's the benefit of having an all-children's program, is that the hours are 11 to 7. And on the weekend, it's fun. I mean, we are packed on the weekends. There are tons of families here. It's so much fun. We have classes in the mornings and special events like testing or workshops or birthday parties in the afternoons. And it's just amazing income on the weekends. And they're not stressful hours, again, because they're during the day. It's those nighttime hours, I know, that really become rough. And again, when you have a family, not to be able to have dinner with your family at night, it's just, you know.
Well, I know you're really big into family, and
yeah,
I think,
and even if you want to do, say, if you wanted to do this, the Karate Kids World license, and you basically, again, we specialize, we focus on kids because that's really where the income is as well.
But you say you have some adults that you teach and you want to continue your adult class at night. That's fine. That's fine. It doesn't mean you have to do it, but because you'll be making plenty of income during the day with the kids program.
I think that's a great point. What you're saying is it's not that you can't teach adults, but now you choose whether you want to or not, where many school owners could never even consider giving up their adult program because it is part of the revenue that helps them pay their bills.
Right.
And it's, you know, let's face it, you know, you're making enough revenue from your current model that if you wanted to teach adults, you would specifically do so, not for the money, but, you know, because maybe you had a personal desire to teach adults. I run into all sorts of instructors, and, you know, adults is the thing that really, you know, they look forward to every night once they get past the kids because they feel they can do more. But it all depends on their personal mission statement. But I think the choice is really what's key there. And
that's the point, is to create the lifestyle that you want. And by using a business model that has at least normal hours, so to speak, you've got a good start right there.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. You know, I'm a Shore and Roo instructor. I'm a Taekwondo instructor. I do ninjutsu. You know, I'm interested. I'd like to do this. I don't have to basically take what I've learned all these years and put it aside.
No.
And then obviously just call upon the basics to now learn something new. I can still continue to teach what I teach. It's just that you're going to show me how to do it in a more effective way and one that fits your business model.
Yes, well, this is the first license that offers the opportunity for martial artists to keep their own style. They don't have to learn anything new. It's basically our business model. And as far as on the mat goes, it's the teaching method and a suggested class format. It's fantastic. It gives people the opportunity to continue with their style. They don't have to try to all of a sudden become a master at something in a month, like some of these other licenses are saying. And I created it to try to help people. So the one thing when people are already applying for the license just on our initial ads is I am going because quality control is very important to me. So I am going to be selective with who is able to get a license. And I just as I do when I hire teachers here, I want to make sure that they truly love children, that they are good on the mat, and if that's in place, everything else is fairly easy. It's just training in our business model and then ongoing support. So
I understand the application is quite hefty to provide a lot of information. So, and I think that's important. I think that you've worked a tremendous number of years to get where you are today, and I think that the Karate Kids World brand is going to be a tremendous success.
Well, yeah, and it benefits all potential licensees to be selective. We want the brand to stay strong. We want the brand across the country to be able to be very, very close, if not the same, as it would be with a franchise.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you with regards to Karate Kids World from a graphic, from a visual standpoint, because one of the things that I will never, ever forget for as long as I live, walking into your school for the first time. I will never forget the feeling I felt, and I've walked in quite a few schools and some that have been extremely impressive, but I will never forget walking into your school because it was completely different than what I would ever have imagined. I just envisioned, you know, I mean, for our listeners, you know, going into, at the time, was my personal largest client pre-member solution days, and thinking, okay, you know, I'm walking in, I'm going to walk into this 5,000, 6,000 square foot location with this massive floor and, you know, an area for parents to watch the class and, you know, probably a really cool-looking pro shop. And so I had high expectations, but what I saw was just completely unexpected. And that is, I kind of walked into a new world. It was, the colors were different than I've ever seen. I'm sure I mentioned this on our last interview together, Dawn. The colors were different, the feel was different, the floor size was a lot smaller, and I remember you joking around and saying to me, well, two things. One, kids aren't as big as adults, and number two, you know, we've got to cater to the parents. The parents are the ones that bring the kids down every week. The parents are the ones that pay the bills. You have to give them an experience as well and make them comfortable. And your pro shop itself is the entire, the whole area. Like anything that's not a floor is technically the pro shop because you intermix this retail element with design in such a way that is just, it's like a good way to describe it. It's like almost going to a planetarium or something, and you kind of walk in.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We don't really call it a pro shop because it's, again, our focus is children, and then the store coordinates with the program. And in the program, we do some interesting, fun things like where they meditate with animal powers. So we have an animal theme going. So we have an animal power store, Joe. But thank you for the compliment about the school. I was not long ago, Mike Giller, who's the president of Century Fitness, was out here, and he stopped by the school, and he walked in, and it was a Saturday afternoon, and it was packed, and there were tons of kids, and lots of families, and lots of cheer, and music, and again, as you said, we have our lobbies very geared towards creating a community space, so a lot of nature tones, water elements, comfortable seating, soft music, fun store. So he looked around and looked at me and said, well, I've pretty much been everywhere and seen everything, but I've never seen a karate school like this. So after which he said, would you like to have lunch? So that was a nice compliment. But it's true. We just, again, I came at it from a parent's point of view because that's how I got into the martial arts when my children were younger. And I went to my teacher's school, Sensei Farkas, and, well, he's old school. And it was a standard teeny little sliver of a lobby with a one little hard bench and some old smelly carpet and funky mats that I don't know when they've been cleaned last and a bunch of old photos and trophies around and a lot of dust. And I wanted to see my children's first day of karate. I was so excited, at which point he said, oh, parents don't get to watch, and he pulled a curtain across in front of my face. And I remember how terrible I felt. And I did not get to enjoy or experience my child's first day of karate, and I just thought it was the worst thing ever. I almost didn't come back, but they said they liked it, so I did. And at which point I decided to jump on board and start training myself. But, of course, I got a crew together and redid the whole dojo on my expense because I knew I wouldn't be able to make it to black belt and if I didn't remodel it. So I kind of started early with remodeling dojos, pretty much when I was a white belt.
Well, you know, it's funny because 5 or 10 years ago hearing that same story, you may just think, oh, you know, that's kind of typical. Now I hear it, and it's kind of weird because I'd be thinking if I was bringing my kids down to a, you know, to somewhat of a total stranger, the last thing I'm doing is leaving my kids where I can't see them.
Right.
Until I get to know these people a little bit better.
Right.
So,
exactly.
For those of you that are completely innocent here, you know, obviously just maybe didn't want the interference of parents. You know, we definitely want to just point out the fact that today parents are thinking, what do you mean I can't see my child in class? And so if you have that kind of old world strategy or policy in your school, you know, today might be the day to start reconsidering that. So I'm just mentioning that because I also went to a school where that was the policy, and it was normal back then. No one would have thought anything of it, but today it's certainly different.
I consider my lobby as part of my marketing expense. So the extra money I spend in build-out is advertising. I get the parents and mostly mothers coming in here, and it's beautiful. And they can sit, they can read a book, they can watch their children have a wonderful, enriching class. And they can chat. I've had so many people say, I've met my best friends at Karate Kids. Thank you so much. And that is what it's about.
This is what I'd like to do. The couple websites that you guys can check out at your leisure is www.theblackbeltclub.com. This goes back to what Dawn had mentioned earlier. There's a link on there called Promo Reel where you can get some information about the book story as well as the upcoming movie. And in the lower left-hand corner, there's actually a link if you're interested in getting copies of book one in the older book format, which I, you know, some people may debate the collector's value of it all, but I have a small little stack reserved for myself. But you may be interested in getting some of those books and sharing them with your students, especially over the summer. A lot of schools require children to do summer reading, and what a great way to build retention over the summer by getting your parents reading a book that has to, getting the parents to recommend to their children to read a book that deals with martial arts, going to get them excited and enthusiastic about coming to class in July and August, which is, you know, always been a difficult time for motivation. So you may want to get this in as part of summer reading. And the other website is www.karatekidsworld.com. I've been there. Obviously, there's a very basic site there for people who would like to get more information, can fill out a form. I understand, Dawn, that the new website is will be up and running by the Super Show?
Yes, everything is geared towards that launch date, first week of July.
So, you know, so obviously everybody realizes that that's the start of everything, and but they could get some general information. And just so I can say thank you very much for allowing me to have this exclusive opportunity to, you know, probe into your mind and find out what's going on. You know, I love to get our clients stuff that no one else can get. Dawn, thank you so much. I know you're really flat out at this point for taking some time to share all this valuable information with our clients. And I look forward to what will be another interview, hopefully pretty short time, so we can talk about how everything's going.
That sounds great. Thanks, Joe.
All right. Have a great day. Say hi to Ben for me.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Bye.
Bye.